At his second re-election rally of the week, President Trump made fun of how rival Michael Bloomberg performed on the debate stage this week.
Now, Mike didn't do too well. He went way down. It's all right. Mini Mike.
This afternoon, Trump holds his third rally of the week in Nevada, where stakes are high for the Democrats in caucuses tomorrow.
Let's bring in Sahil Kapoor, who is national politics reporter for NBC. He joins us from Las Vegas. Hi, Sahil.
Good to join you.
Well, before we get to news from the campaign trail, I want to ask you about the latest story on Russian election interference and President Trump's response to it. The New York Times and The Washington Post are both reporting that Trump's removal of his acting director of national intelligence this week and replacement with a loyal supporter was because a staffer had briefed members of Congress, including Democrats, that Russia is once again interfering in the election to favor President Trump and get him reelected. Trump was angry the Democrats were briefed on that. What do you make of this? And should Americans be concerned that the president doesn't want anyone to hear intelligence that doesn't make him look good?
Right. I mean, this is a topic that the president has always been uncomfortable with because he believes it the idea of Russian interference, true though it may be, undermines his victory in 2016 and sort of delegitimizes his presidency in a way. And the big news here seems to be that the president was, according to the New York Times, upset with the director of national intelligence for briefing Congress, which is his job to do, which kind of suggests that the president wants his officials, even career officials in an area like intelligence, to act in ways that comport with his political interests. And that seems to be one of the big takeaways from his move here.
Okay. And one other story out of Washington I want to get your thoughts on. One of the foreign wars that President Trump has campaigned on ending this morning, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced that the U.S. and the Taliban have reached an understanding that could lead to a reduction in violence in Afghanistan and a possible end to America's longest war. We are a little over 8 months until the election here in this country. Are politics at play in what's happening in Afghanistan that President Trump wants to show he's kept his promise about ending the war there before the voters vote?
Without a doubt, he wants to show that. There are a lot of ifs here. This appears to be a 7-day reduction in violence between the United States and Afghanistan, and in a war that has been fought between these two countries for about 2 decades now. It is far from clear that this will ultimately lead to peace. If it does, if there are major breakthroughs in the coming months, and the president can realistically say that his actions have led to that, then certainly it will help him, because one of the things he campaigned on was ending United States entanglements in foreign wars. It is still a war-weary country that wants a lot less of that.
Sahil, hey, let's turn to the Democrats running for president. You're in Las Vegas. Bernie Sanders is the clear front runner now for the Democratic presidential nomination. The campaigns of Mike Bloomberg and Pete Buttigieg are now pressing each other to drop out to consolidate the votes of moderates for one candidate who can stop Sanders. At this point, I'm wondering from you, is the moderate lane so much in flux that Sanders is likely unstoppable?
That is absolutely the fear of many figures in the Democratic establishment, that there's just a traffic jam in the moderate lane with Pete Buttigieg, Mike Bloomberg, Joe Biden, Amy Klobuchar is also still in the mix, had a really good showing in New Hampshire. The first three men I mentioned are private citizens. They don't have a public office to fall back on. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of money. They don't have any reason to drop out. And all of them believe it should be them and nobody else. So, yes, I think there is an issue here for figures in the Democratic Party who want to coalesce around an alternative to Bernie Sanders, because the polls here in Nevada, the polls nationally, the polls in key states like California and Texas show him far ahead of the field and clearly, as you mentioned, the front runner for this nomination.
Yeah, yeah. Back to Mike Bloomberg, though, who isn't on the ballot in Nevada, made his case in Utah last night, which voters on Super Tuesday, March 3rd, will vote. Let's listen.
Look, the real winner in the debate last night was Donald Trump. Because I worry that we may very well be on the way to nominating somebody who cannot win in November. And if we choose a candidate who appeals to a small base like Senator Sanders, it will be a fatal error.
Sahil, there's a poll out yesterday in Nevada that has Sanders in first at 30%, followed by Buttigieg at 17 and Biden at 16. You kind of laid out the power of Sanders, but what are you hearing from voters?
There is an electability battle happening between these candidates. That is the coin of the realm in the Democratic primary. Every Democratic voter is obsessed with the idea of finding a candidate who can win the general election. They know they have one bite at this apple to stop him from becoming a two-term president, and they don't want to mess it up. Now, what you hear from Sanders and what you hear from Bloomberg are two very different theories of the case. Mike Bloomberg wants to take a somewhat traditional path, win over centrist voters, win over the moderate kind of affluent suburban urbanites who powered Democrats into the majority in the House of Representatives in 2018. Bernie Sanders has a very different theory of the case. He looks at the 100 million people who sat out the election in 2016 and says they are disaffected voters who believe neither party is looking out for them. He wants a surge in turnout. He wants an exciting, bold message of disruption and change. And he wants to change the shape of the electorate and win by mobilizing new voters. So that's the choice facing Democratic voters. Which of those theories sounds better to them? Which candidate do they want to go with?
It was interesting to hear the question in the debate this week about whether the candidate who has amassed the most delegates at the end of the process, even if they don't have a majority, should be the candidate chosen at the convention. And Bernie Sanders was the only one who said yes to that. Obviously, he thinks he's going to be the one. And the other candidates said no, it should follow the normal process. What do you think about a contested convention? We talk about this every 4 years, but this time it actually seems like it could happen.
You know, it always seems like it could happen until the party establishment sits in a room and figures out that it would break apart whatever was left of the party if they were to, you know, take away the nomination from the plurality delegate leader. I have a very, very hard time seeing it. We're going to hear a lot of hand-wringing between now and the convention about that possibility. There's going to be a lot of, you know, prominent Democrats who fear that Bernie Sanders would lose the election in a major way to President Trump. But if he is the clear delegate leader heading into the convention, I don't see a plausible argument that anybody could make that would keep the party together, because his voters are diehards. They're not going to show up. They're not going to show up to support Democrats if the nomination is perceived as being stolen from him. This was even a problem in 2016 when he clearly lost the nomination to Hillary Clinton. But there was some question of whether the process was designed right in a way to benefit Hillary Clinton. And later on, emails came out that spoke to that. And a lot of Bernie Sanders voters either stayed home or voted for Jill Stein. About a tenth of them voted for Donald Trump
right
in 2016.
Right.
So it should be a major concern among Democrats.
Let me just add one voice to this conversation for a few minutes here. Enrique Acevedo joins us. He's a news anchor for Univision. Enrique, Univision polling found 1 in 3 Latino voters in Nevada are willing to vote for Bernie Sanders, followed by Biden and then Steyer. This is the race, the part of the process that everybody looks to say, how are Latinos feeling? What are you hearing?
I think it's the first stop in our electoral calendar that's going to test the Latino strategy in each campaign. I think that's a fair assumption, Jeremy. And it's surprising to see that Sanders has retained that lead he had from the beginning. He's still polling as a leader among Latino candidates, according to this poll, followed by Joe Biden and then, surprisingly, Mike Bloomberg. And I say surprisingly because he entered the race, you know, very late and, right, and hasn't been part of any debate or hasn't been on a ballot until now. So what surprises me specifically about Nevada is the fact that this culinary union, that it's mainly formed by Latinos, over 50% of its members are Latinos, have healthcare in their minds and have really had this contentious relationship with the Sanders campaign over healthcare, over keeping their healthcare plan. And still, with that influence and that power that the union has, Bernie Sanders seems to be the favorite candidate amongst Latinos in the state. So it's going to be interesting to see how they vote at the end and the real muscle and the strength of this culinary union.
Yeah. Yeah. Enrique, looking to the future, we have another debate coming up Tuesday night. What are the stakes for yet another debate? The same six, including Michael Bloomberg, will be on the stage in Charleston ahead of the primary there. Your thoughts?
I think that first debate was pretty bad for issues that Latino voters care about, and these are the issues that most of the voters care about. There wasn't a lot of talk about things like gun control, things like jobs and the economy. There was a lot of back and forth on other issues, but I think Latino voters want to hear more specifics about not just their immigration plans, which of course wasn't part of the first debate, but also how are they going to benefit from this economy. Over 60% of the people who were who participated in our poll said that they don't feel they benefited from Trump's economic policies, despite the fact that Hispanic unemployment is at an all-time low. So that's very significant if you think that President Trump and the White House have been talking about this for a long time and say that that alone is going to win them Latino support. Well, 60% of Latinos at a national level and around the same number in Nevada are saying we have not felt that benefit.
That's Enrique Acevedo. He's a news anchor for Univision. And Sahil Kapoor is national political correspondent for NBC. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.